which is a commentary on Nagarjuna's Mulya Madhyamika Karika, the root wisdom text. So before we get started, I'll make some prostrations so everybody can take this opportunity to do that. And we'll go from there. Just hit this light, it's shining. I take refuge, time, enlightenment, the Lama, the Buddha, the merit I create by practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. Okay, so welcome everybody. We're fortunate to have Rinpoche again teaching us Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. But before we get started, let's do the mandala offering. And we'll do the outer mandala offering and the prayer of Chitta. We're very fortunate to have Rinpoche with us. Rinpoche is a retired abbot of His Holiness the Dalai Lama's monastery, Namgyal, and holds the degree of Geshe Larampa, which is the highest degree one can achieve in the Tibetan Buddhist Gelug tradition. Rinpoche is recognized by all the greatest scholars in the world, including His Holiness the Dalai Lama, as one of the greatest holders and realizers of the doctrine of the Sutra and Tantra teachings. Rinpoche has studied extensively all of the five great texts and supported them with the Kangjur and the Tanjur, the Kangjur being the pronouncements of Lord Buddha and the Tanjur being the authentic Indian commentaries. So Rinpoche has almost 80 years of experience in studying the Dharma in this lifetime. So we're so fortunate to have somebody with us that spends day and night doing nothing but what it says to do in the Lam Rim. And we're so fortunate to have holy beings like this in our world. And let's get started. Can we just turn it a little bit so he's all in the picture? I feel like there's a little space over here. Just turn it. There you go. Perfect. So let's get started with the mandala offering. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas High, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Hidam Guru Ratna Mandala Gamirata Yami. Sorry. Jodam Dodi Jodam Na Janju Badu Dani Yazu Jidagi Juni Jibe Jodam Jodam Benji Zanji Jubaju. Yodan, Dagi Junye Jibe Zonam Drola Benji Nanye Ruba Yu. So today we will continue the teaching on Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. We will begin on stanza number 96. And I don't know the page number, but it's stanza number 96 in English. Okay. Decent.
Tang Oma Juba, Yetu Songji Nena Tongwanche, Songji Shangju Sanba Le Zhuji, Tingji Sanba Le Zhuji, Shangju Sanba Le Zhuji, Yetu Tang Songji Nena Shangji Nena De, Gwang Le Chungba Le Sada, Tongwan, Sanji
所以，So when we look at the first chapter of the Madhyamika Avatara by Chandrakirti, the entrance to the middle way, we see it says there's first a homage to Manjushri Kumara, tender as glorious, ever youthful. And then the first stanza says, the Shravakas and those halfway to Buddhahood are born from the mighty sage, and the Buddhas take their birth from Bodhisattva heroes. Compassion, non-duality, the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake are causes of the children of the conqueror. So when we look at the various results that we see within the Buddhist texts, the result of the hearer photo-destroyer or the hearer path, or the result of the solitary realizer, solitary realizer path. And then we hear of the Bodhisattva foe destroyer or Buddha, and then the path. So all of these categories are results, if you will. So results are dependent upon their causes. So the first stanza of the Madhyamika Avatara points to those causes of each of those realizations or pathways, if you will, each of those states. I guess the states of being. So the Shravakas are referring to as a Sanskrit word for hearer. And hearer, or Nyentu in Tibetan, is the first division of the Hinayana vehicle. When we look at the Hinayana vehicle, we divide it into hearers and solitary realizers as far as paths and realizations. So the hearers and the solitary realizers are the Hinayanists. So Shravakas are referring to hearers, and those halfway to Buddhahood are referring to solitary realizers. So those hearers and solitary realizers are born from, or their being comes about from the Buddha. So that when we say their being, as a translator's note, we're speaking of spiritual beings. So the pathway of the hearers or the realizations of the hearers, all of those things come about from the Buddha. So the mighty sage is the Buddha. And it says, then the Buddhas take their birth from Bodhisattva heroes. So what causes the Buddha? How does the Buddha arise? The Buddha arises by cause of the bodhisattva. So the Buddha is caused by the bodhisattva. And then it says, well, then what causes the bodhisattva? So it says causes of the children of the conqueror. Children of the conqueror, Sanjitse, refers to bodhisattva. It's another name for a bodhisattva. So compassion, a non-duality, the wish for others' sake are the causes of the children of the conqueror. So if the Buddha causes the hearers and the solitary realizers, and the bodhisattvas cause the Buddhas, then what causes the bodhisattvas? And here it says the bodhisattvas are caused by compassion, non-duality, which refers to the wisdom realizing emptiness, and the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake. So these are the causes of the children of the conqueror. So as a note, this is referring specifically to a bodhisattva of sharp capacity, one who has this foundation or grounding in the wisdom realizing emptiness prior to realizing bodhicitta. But there are beings who are of dull capacity who first realize bodhicitta and then realize the wisdom, then have the wisdom realizing emptiness. If we look at it in terms of the five paths, the five Mahayana paths, the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning, we see that the bodhisattva of dull capacity actually generates bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, at the path of accumulation at the first stage. Once they're at the second stage of the path of accumulation, it is said they can no longer lose their bodhicitta or fall out of the Mahayana. And then it still takes them to go through the path of preparation, where there is a union of calm abiding and special insight, which has as its object of observation emptiness, and then moves on to the path of seeing, where that being has a direct realization of emptiness, has the wisdom realizing emptiness, goes through the uninterrupted paths and goes and reaches the path of release, and then stands as an Arya being who is a bodhisattva. So at that point, the being has achieved bodhicitta many stages before, so that when we look at the stanza, we say it is not necessarily so, because we have the subject, a bodhisattva of dull capacity who has not realized emptiness yet and is a bodhisattva. And didn't have the wisdom realizing emptiness to cause him or her to be a bodhisattva. So there's two types of bodhisattvas, sharp and dull capacity. This is referring to sharp capacity bodhisattvas. Decent. So we begin with stanza number 96, where it says, for once the outer objects of cognition are disproved, the Buddhas have declared the knowing mind is easily refuted. Perceiver is discounted with the percept. The outer world was thus negated first. So once one has able to establish the emptiness of the outer world, disprove the inherent existence or the true establishment of the outer objects, then it is easy to apply the same exact formulas to the mind and then refute the mind's inherent existence. So here, once again, we're speaking of the samsampi kaba. Samsampa kaba.
I do.
And so it's perhaps negating the mind only school and other views as well, which find some sort of inherent existence in relation to mind itself. Okay. Ne de shije dans de detar longi loju.
Dogan te.
Detar longi
loju. Shije des 롱고 상제 롤 롤로 소베
치체
나주고 시험제 우레
치체
도강 되니 마이 시도제 저드 송방 또네 장샤신스 다 엄마 탄주로 저등도 제도 내도진도니 저등도 간다자 그러잖아 고주 대바 어제 대지 소신 대문도 저등도 Tandu Songba Wang, Tune, Chang Shashin, Tony, Tunje, Nere Shabajis.
Bless
her. Tony, Tang, Tata, the Bangladesh, the Tushin, the Tabby, Little Nadogdo. Tundu, the Bazan, Tushin, the Tabby, the La, Chandogdo, Jawoos.
The way in which the teachings were bestowed should be discerned. The sutras that explains things other than the ultimate were taught contingently to lead upon the path, while those that speak of voidness should be understood as ultimate. So it's speaking of literal and figurative teachings. Is it possible to get my phone? So it's speaking here of literal and figurative teachings. Here it's saying that those teachings on the ultimate, on voidness, were literal. So it's saying that, so when we look at conventional truth and ultimate truth, conventional truth is that which is not the not emptiness. So when we look at conventional truth of a car, for instance, the car itself is conventional truth, but the car's emptiness is ultimate truth. So ultimate truth is necessarily referring to emptiness, that one thing's emptiness of something. So I'm not texting, I'm looking something up in the dictionary. Okay, so drang e the salodang drang dun tomban doni do pishira drang e
gonzo drang dun kunu de bangwa de tsu shen de bun do de drang dun jin do kunu de ba lo drang dun to do de ba lo ne de ko ma sa ju lu chi ja wo de ma de
okay okay, so I was just looking something up in the dictionary. So here we see that the ultimate truth, which is when we look at emptiness is ultimate truth. And when we look at the difference between conventional truth and ultimate truth, ultimate is necessarily the emptiness of something, and conventional truth is the something, basically. So that's the way to understand it. That which is not the lack of inherent existence is an object's conventional truth. Its ultimate truth is its lack of inherent existence. So here it's saying that the literal teachings were those of the emptiness, and the interpretable teachings were anything that were taught in the sutras about the path and so forth. That were needed to be discerned. Okay. Ni.
Nili Chong, the big woman, country shirt. She's in Yabata, Toto Boba, Isha Rose. That's a Jan Nikol Jordi. Tell Maris, she's up this. She's in Yabata, Toto Boba, Isha Rose. That's a Jan Nikol Jordi.
Dhammayan, Shammayan, Nikamayan, Mepa, Jumayan. Okay.
But the Tegma is Mateba the Kundu, she is in Beijing.
Okay.
Then the Jitin Lemmy, the Nitro, Dumintis, that the Jenica the Joe there, the Zonto Mazim, Jitin, Tanya to Tegma is. Then the Jitin Lemmy, the Nitro, Dumintis, Consider. Len John Ruba Yomains, consider Len John Ruba Yomain. Kate Jumel Kona, show a touch in Junana Jumel Joa, his lover in Anna. Tatata Tatu, Taji Leja, Taji Jimusins. Tate Jumel Valley, Chiselon, Lulasuna, Jumi met Taji Le. Debe Then you cheto, Jitin de Sabin Lasuna Jata by Kune, Diva Shiva Mazu. Kesan Rua Jui, Tomba, Jena Naka Nakaye, Uba Nakimatusa Uba Lai Tadu Chiji Nito. Many now. She do chitty. Jitin jiba. My teacher. Ranke. Lushin. Jitin jule. Imba. Shiba jis. Ranke. Look in the funajin. Jitin in the swim. Shiba jis. Don't want that. Dani Kanji Kanki Kanki Chase Lui Yuzin Jua Ti Dani Jen Mahina Kana Yiji Mapa Tobo Nini Toyoba Tena Jetan Jitan Paru Yanda Toba Jubu. Jitin Paru Guba, Shibi Tuso, Danine, Shiji Zanjin, Shiji Lutu, Tawa Tujate, De Sayu Nabi, Tenton, Lutan Denis, Tessin Jungu, Dani, Yuni, Kele, Decision. No one that did I hear me? That she's in this. No one in the city to come along, going to see us in what is such a man all of it. What does it mean to go to see us in there? Congressional, Conto. Rajin le ta nikale chetan jume tumoton kazin tishir maji jwa da tashi beba mai nos noa ne se hundo che sabres
let's go gangi chu cover this
Gangi Shena,
That's good. Okay, so Rimiche, nga inji kezu de chiran de data de kaba nge becha de kabir data la nge inji kezu de da ranjin la de kabiare matsu tearing de good so som ne chishin de yure
Lesser.
Okay, NGK. Okay, so the way in which the teachings were bestowed should be discerned. The sutras that explain things other than the ultimate were taught contingently to lead upon the path, while those that speak of voidness should be understood as ultimate. Production from self and other we cannot accept, for it displays the defects of these is just explained. Empirically it is not found, nor yet in terms of suchness, nor kind of origin is separately sustained. If things arise in total absence of a cause, it follows that all times everything can come from anything. If that were so, then worldly people would not gather seeds in all their myriad ways to cultivate their crops. If wanderers were not themselves the cause, then like the scent and the color of the lotus in the sky, there would be no perception of the universe, and yet this world appears in all its brilliance. Conclude therefore that, like the mind, the world derives from causes. So here, we see that Chandrakirti is negating the inherent existence that arises from self, other, both, or causelessly. So we saw before the negation of the mind only. So the mind arising from the mind itself, from the minds, arisal from other is negated. Then we have this, because arisal from self has been negated and arisal from other has been negated, then we have to say that we negate arisal from a combination of the two, because we've already negated that. Production from self and other we cannot accept, for it displays the defects of these just explained. So we've already explained, empirically it is not found, nor yet in terms of suchness, neither kind of origin is separately sustained. So when we look at arisal from self and negate it, and then we negate arisal from other, we can see that we've already negated the possibility of both of those things being the arisals because of interdependence. So then we say that then that automatically negates the possibility of arisal from both of them because we've negated already them separately and shown how their origin is sustained and how their origin is actually created. If things arise in total absence of a cause, so here this is beginning to negate the view of the nihilist, the view of that things arise without a cause, no cause. So we have the negation of the things that arise from self, negation of the things that arise from other, negation of things that arise from a combination of both, and then the negation that things arise causelessly. So then we begin to negate that. And if these things arise in total absence of a cause, it follows that at all times everything can come from anything. If that were so, then worldly people would not gather seeds in all their myriad ways to cultivate crops. We know that results are concordant with their causes because everything can't come from anything. We know that there are specific causes that cause specific results. So if things were not caused, and we say that things are just causeless and random, then that has to follow throughout. That can't be just when it is convenient to posit that they are causeless. Because then we would say, well, then why do you plant corn if you want corn? Why do you plant rice if you want rice? Why don't you plant corn and expect rice? So that negates this idea of causelessness just by showing what we do in the world on a regular basis anyway. If wanderers were not themselves the cause, then like the scent and color of the lotus in the sky, there would be no perception of the universe. And yet this world appears in all its brilliance. Conclude therefore that, like the mind, the world derives from causes. Here the scent and the color of a lotus in the sky is a non-existent because a sky flower doesn't exist. So it's saying, it's just basically saying that how could this be? So if wanderers were not themselves the cause, then like the scent and color of the lotus in the sky, there would be no perception of the universe. We'll look it up later. Just keep going for now. How can you say the elements, which are the object of your mind, compose the latter's nature? This surely cannot be. And how can you, with minds so thickly clouded, ever comprehend aright what lies beyond this world? For when you say there's nothing after death, the nature of phenomenon you understand amiss. Your view is based upon coordinated with the body you possess. It's just as when you say the elements are all that is. The elements do not exist as we have generally shown when proving as we have above that not from self nor other nor both nor yet without a cause does birth occur. Refuted thus, the elements are lacking all existence. So it's showing how the elements which we say are our composition are dependently originated, that which they compose is dependently originated, and they do not arise. The elements don't arise from themselves, other, a combination of both or neither, and nor does the self arise from self, other, a combination of both or neither. So we're saying that. So without these causes of coming together, the birth does not occur. So it shows that the elements are not truly established. Since not from self, from other, nor from both at once, nor yet with reliance on a cause do things emerge, they are deprived of entity. Dense ignorance shrouds the world as though amassing clouds. Because of this, phenomena are misperceived. Those who have defective eyes perceive black lines, a double moon, the colors of a peacock's tail, a swarm of bee, illusions all. It's thus the unwise are enslaved by the faults of ignorance, perceiving with their minds the multitude of composite phenomenon. Rinpoche, the Dondogare. Okay, I see. Wire it. Okay. Those who have defective eyes perceive black lines, a double moon, the colors of a peacock's tail, a swarm of bees, illusions all. It's thus the unwise are enslaved by faults of ignorance, perceiving with their minds the multitude of composite phenomena. So our minds are perceiving what is called concealing truth. So the truth of emptiness of an object is concealed by its almost its conventionality. So that's why conventional truth is called concealing truth, because we see a car and think that it's inherently existent as an object that's sitting from its own side. But its ultimate truth is that it is not sitting from its own side. It is not truly established. It dependently originates. But what it looks like kind of conceals its truth and makes it look like it is something that's truly established. Karma comes about through ignorance. When ignorance is banished, karma also. To think like this betrays most certainly the uninformed. The sunlight of right understanding clears the darkness of confusion. The wise have realized emptiness and thus are set free. If things you say did not exist in ultimate reality, conventionally too, they would be like a childless woman's son. But this is not the case. You say and claim phenomena by nature do exist. To those who suffer from an eye disease, black lines appear, though they have no arising. So now you should debate and prove them false and then refute the ones who suffer from the ills of ignorance. As when you dream or see a city in the clouds, a mirage or a pool, an optical illusion or an image in a glass, the things you see are unproduced and are all without existence. And how do you perceive them? It should not be possible. Then Rinpoche, the Dondogare, the Dombani, Doni Dopishera, the Detschiranam. Donda Mambo Yure the ne the death tree the chu tamche the
chukalo rana rana daj tubal twin jugalo
asa
na kombas na shadow no do the mambaji the twin kombas metaba man
lesa
then I should the double is
So basically what this is explaining is that all phenomena come into being through a collection. So we see a collection that comes together, and this doesn't have to mean impermanent collection. This means a collection. It could be north, south, east, and west is a collection. So we see that phenomena comes together. So in the case of a house, we have wood and iron and all of the different parts of a house, the top and someone who made a house and so forth. And then all of these things come together. They serve as an appropriate basis for the name to be designated house. Why? It performs the function of a house. It serves, it's a suitable to be shown as house. So therefore, we can say that it's an appropriate basis of designation for the name house. But there is no house that inherently exists from its own side, that it's separate from that nominal designation onto that basis. So the conventional concealed truth is that we apprehend something as singular, as having this inherent existence, but it does not, because it comes into being just as we explained with the house. All other phenomena we can use the same formula with, that it's merely a collection that comes together that serves as a suitable basis to be named as this or that. So then we, from our side, name it, and then it comes into being, and our minds believe it to be substantially existent as that thing that we just named. So here, this text now is just negating all of those ideas of lack of interdependence and substantialism. Then Chu Kabash. So, the more true than Leja, Gary Gakshu. Okay, Rinpoche said, let's do some, let me see if there are any questions. And if not, let me see. Let's see where you are. Okay, and true, you really may not die, right? Okay. So, it looks like we have a bunch of questions, so we'll stop here. And if I didn't read far enough along, apologize. I've got to get the page, the exact stanza. I was listening to Rinpoche's commentary and then looking at the English, and I ended up losing my place a little bit. So let's see. First question is true love. Let me sit back down. I can see the screen kind of from here. Is true love only possible with omniscience, or at least seeing things as interdependent? Rinpoche, the Shamba, the Yongi Shamba, Ninji Yongi Shamba, Shamba Guna, Namchen Gua. The Shamba Data Guna, Namchen Gu. Okay, so it's not necessary to have omniscience to have love. Love is within the stages of realization. It's a causal step for getting bodhicitta. When we look at the 7-point cause and effect for realizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment, it's actually what causes compassion. So we see the first step of realizing sentient beings are our mothers, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness. And then this next step is love through the force of attraction that we meditate on. And then great compassion, the extraordinary attitude, and then we realize bodhicitta. And that's long before we are omniscient, according to the path. Is it simply seeing that all beings have been our mothers? Semchen tamche marshe pa shamba yimba? So that seeing sentient beings as our mothers is actually a cause for love, but isn't love. The shambi ju in a shamba mayin. Semchen tamche marshe pa the sanodana the shambi ju. Yes. Okay. So yes, we would say that seeing sentient beings as our mothers is actually a cause for love. We see them as our mothers. We remember how kind they've been. We wish to repay their kindness, and then we generate love. And we actually see them as our mothers, because our continuum is the same continuum, and we've merely forgotten they were our mothers. We say they are our mothers, because kindness given to us yesterday is still kindness. So we would call it mother, because they are our mother of this continuum, and mothers of a continuum that have maybe created this experience we're having right now, potentially. Is it wrong to see all things as meaningful, to see life and all it is meaningful, giving the practice, not just meaningful for the practice of Dharma, but for its own sake? I experience this to be the case after deep meditation, especially in nature. I know this world is not a pure land, because there are beings here who have negative karma. However, when I am done meditating in nature, I experience and appreciate it as a pure land. No doubt this is where environmentalists get their love of nature. No doubt nature is where we get the idea of pure land, like the mandala of offering Mount Meru. Okay, so the only one that, so when we look at meditation and karma, we can only be sure that we are, if we aren't Buddhas or enlightened in some way, we can only be sure, says this world is not a pure land because of beings here who have negative karma. We can only be sure that we have negative karma if we aren't enlightened. Other beings, our whole world is a misunderstanding. So we can only be sure of our own realization. So that's the first thing that we have to say. It's a sign that we are samsara, we are cyclic existence, we have cyclic existence. But looking at someone else, we can't say if they have cyclic existence, because our whole experience is only guided by our own karma. Other people don't really make our experiences. We just project that onto them from our karma. So our reactions and so forth and understandings of it are all produced by our naming of the interaction in some way. So that's to start. And Rinpoche, Kong Triwa did, the Ngatsu Zambaling Ninjebodu, Vene, the Ngatsu Shin Dan Metu Dan Kanga Ninjebodu, Yene, the Atisha Sompare, the Jikten Yushu, then the big Kanga Sache Yen, then the Shin de Dungyal Demba Yen, Sache Yen, Vene, the Nampi Demba, the Ngatsu, the Kanga, the Zin, the Ducha Yapiomare, the Digare, the Sanjay Dajing, the Ninjebodu, the Ne, the Chiran Sanlogar Yube, the Ngatsu Metu, Shedan, the Ninje Sanlodana, the Ne, the Ducha Yin. The Ne, the So the world that we abide in is contaminated. So what we're doing when we renounce it, we're not renouncing the beauty. We're renouncing, so we can say that the world is beautiful and something that we should preserve. But we're not saying that it isn't beautiful. We're saying that it's contaminated because we're experiencing it. The Buddha's pure land is beautiful and only beautiful because the Buddha only has karma to experience beautiful things. So the beauty isn't the problem. It's our attachment to it, our reaction to it. It's contaminated because we are contaminated. Could you just give the full name of the book you are working on? I found a PDF of Nagarjuna's 60 stanzas. It's Chandrakirti's Entrance to the Middle Way. Chandrakirti's Entrance to the Middle Way. It's a commentary on Nagarjuna's root wisdom text. So we're going to end here with the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. Okay, Rinpoche, Ngatsu Huan Dong, Esar. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land, surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may stay until samsara is end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trains extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Guzi Shabi Denona. Thank you, everybody. And we will see
Jeff,
you
there's
on.
Questions.
There's more? I got these. I have the four. Are there more than the
okay,
four?
Okay, no, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, we went through the four. Thank you very much, everybody. And yeah, we'll see you for the teaching on Sunday. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.